All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. I don't even know if you need the W's. Socialpodcastnetwork.com. I am that guy. I will type in the W's when searching for something. Brother. How are we all doing? Today is January the 29th, 2021. Almost 1 month under our belts for 2021. I mean, seems to be going so okay so far, I guess. I'm not sure. But I feel pretty good. It is today's Friday. It is cold as hell. I usually run Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. This week, I have not been into it. Not feeling the running game. I did run on Monday. I feel good. I'm having a lot of trouble with my back. Unfortunately, it is just hurting big time. And I ran on Monday. Wednesday, it was supposed to be Tuesday was rainy. I was just assuming Wednesday would be that way, so I called Brian. I'm like, I'm going to skip tomorrow. I'm going to sleep in. And then Wednesday came around. It was a pretty nice day. Probably could have ran, but I think it was all right to skip it. Thursday came along yesterday. It was freaking cold and windy. It's supposed to be more like that today, more cold and wind. Last night, oh, my God, it was blowing. Freezing cold. It was down, I think, in 10 or 11 degrees. For here, it's cold. I don't know. Somewhere, I'm sure, else warm. But here, it was pretty chilly. And I text Doc last night. I said, I think I'm going to skip tomorrow. I think I just need a break. I mean, I don't mind running in the cold. I would absolutely run in the cold. I don't like the wind. And last night, it sounded super windy. I'm looking out the window right now. And The flags are flying, and I think I made the right call. I mean, 10 degrees, 11 degrees, high wind, it's pretty miserable. I was thinking I'm not that sad. Not that sad today in my life. There was times I can remember, perfectly sober, right? No drugs or alcohol, but just so fucking miserable with myself that I remember running, and it was literally sleeting and raining and windy and nasty, and I just had some fucking weird thing to prove. You know, I'm sure it was like, I want to get in shape. Nah, something else was behind that. Pride, ego, I don't know. I know I was sad. You know, whether it was the relationship or the relationship had ended or a marriage had ended. And I just remember being really in a dark fucking place, man, and just constantly wanting to run, like in the middle of the night or in the early mornings in the dark, and just wanted someone to go, good job, I guess. I mean, I don't particularly think that's what I do, but when I look at it now, I think what it is when I judge other people now, look at that guy. Running in this weather. Must be sad. Something's wrong. Nobody happy in life runs at 5 in the morning in the heavy wind and 10 degrees. They're doing something. Because I've been there. I mean, listen, if you run at 5 in the morning and it's 10 degrees and it's 100 mile an hour winds and you're happy, I apologize. But the reality is that, you know, it's something. Nothing changes lives like shame and guilt. You know? Nothing. I was talking to my friend Ashley yesterday. You know, she's doing a little book, Visit Rehoboth book. And she's been working on it. And she's been, Ashley's great. She's been on the podcast a few times. What I like about Ashley is she's just a go-getter, you know. She's a hustler. And, you know, she's had to figure it out through the pandemic how to make things work. She usually does a little publication every year. I don't know. I think it may come out twice a year. She interviews some of the local folks. I think this year it's she did an interview with Ryan Phillippe, who I guess is, I know I've heard the name. He's clearly an actor, but I guess he comes to our area for the summers or something. And so she did an interview with him, and, you know, Shell Brothers are a big sponsor, and it's kind of cool. And then we had a little ad in there for the network, and, you know, that was cool. And, but, you know, she was talking to me about, you know, just, she's starting to run, you know. I'm seeing, like, all these, you know, Ashley's, you know, running and, you know, working on herself, and I don't think it's that she's sad. I think she just, you know, ready to, you know, this pandemic, this whole almost a year now, has just freaking grinded us, right? I mean, at first it was like, oh, yeah, it'll be over, and here we are almost a year later. And, you know, there's people that are like, gosh, I really have been depressed or not paying attention. You know, we have our routines. We're like going to the gym and working out, and some of that's been taken away, and now we're having to deal with it in a new way. And, you know, some people, it's kind of gotten away from them, and they're finally like, listen, I've had it. I'm going to start running. Or I saw a friend of mine posted on Facebook that she was celebrating 1 year sober. I remember, you know, she's a hair client of mine, and I never knew that she was drinking that much, honestly. I remember her talking to me about her husband, who was working with a local company. I won't even be specific, but, and that company enjoyed a lot of, you know, adult beverages, and he started getting caught up in that adult beverage kind of thing with that company and had to quit. Or she told him, you got to quit, because they were, you know, it was a party company. Not a party company, but this company liked to party. And I remember her talking to me about that and that struggle, but I never knew that she was struggling or whatever, but she, you know, she put on Facebook that she's celebrating in a year, and I was like, man, that is freaking awesome. You know, I think people are starting to, I know at my age, I don't want to do anything that's going to make me feel like shit. I mean, literally, whether it's physically or emotionally. I don't want any relationships with people that's going to make me annoyed. I don't want to eat anything that's going to make me annoyed. And I definitely don't want to drink anything that's going to annoy other people. Because I guarantee if I drank, it would be annoying to a lot of people. At my age, at 52, it's really just about feeling level for me. I don't need to feel great. I don't need to feel like shit. I just need to be level. And I think I talked about that my back, and I, you know, I finally called Erin upstairs at the, you know, Lanikai. Go see Erin Lanikai. She's a freaking amazing. I call her. I go, Erin, I need a massage. My back. My back was so seized up and locked up, and I didn't know what to do. I'm stretching legs and bending over and rolling and twisting, just trying to find some relief. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the answer is right there in front of my face. Aaron's been telling me, come get a massage. Come get a massage. Come get a massage, Tom. We've even set up appointments, and I've missed them or I've forgotten. Or it's like my buddy Carlos. He has the float center. Come get a float, man. Float. Your back will feel a lot better. I'm like, yeah. Erin, yeah. And then when it becomes desperate, Erin! So I went up there. And wow. Do I feel better? It's interesting how the body, you know, all the muscles and tendons and ligaments and all the shit. And she, you know, I lay down. I barely can even lay down. This is how bad it is. I can't even lay down. But I finally am laying down, and she just starts, like, she takes her right hand and just puts it, like, on a spot in my lower back, and then puts her left hand on a spot on my upper top of my, you know, by my shoulders, and just starts kind of, you know, back and forth, sort of, you know, like, finding these tendons and things, muscles, and just starts, you know, releasing them. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, you know what? And I saw her yesterday. I go, can we schedule one of those for next month, same time? She goes, let's do it sooner. Let's not get so bad. I go, okay, tell me the day. I'm in. You know, I have all these things around me to help me that I choose not to do. And, you know, I can't do that. I need to take advantage of some of these things so that I feel better. You know, when I was struggling with alcohol and finally got sober, you know, there was meetings and there was people and sponsorship and a temporary sponsor and, you know, just people from my class, so to speak, you know, that I could talk to. There were people in my life to try to help me out. I could not do that on my own. Sometimes I have to treat some of these other things like that. You know, my back, you know, my back's not going to get better on its own. Use some of these folks that are in my life to try to help me. It is a, it's a gift, you know, to have. I mean, there was a time in my life when I had nobody. Pick up your will. It's cold, fat, and lazy. Such a good song. Love Pearl Jam. What's up, Pearl Jam? Watched the fucking Pearl Jam concert last night on YouTube. San Diego, like 2013. Fucking great show, man. And all I could do was, you know, I was digging the show. Love, you know, if you know me, you know I love Pearl Jam. Just, you know, kind of one of those evenings where just not much going on, so I'm just watching a Pearl Jam show. But all I could think about is, like, we're never going to have concerts again. I mean, I'm sure we will, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon. And then I'm like, what about this whole industry of concert people, you know, musicians and bands and, you know, touring bands and club bands and local artists and these, you know, all this whole industry has been just fucking, the brakes have been pumped. And everybody that's in the industry, from the sound and the lights and, you know, the bartenders and the, you know, the people that make nachos and just all the shit that goes along with this industry has all been pumped, has been shut down. You know, I was watching basketball. They're basically just playing in a room with a bunch of people taped to the wall. People's faces. There's nobody buying nachos. There's nobody buying beer. There's nobody. I mean, it's a whole industry. And I'm just like, I don't know. What this is ever going to look like again. I know that. I've talked about this before, and it's still something that I'm struggling with. It's, you know, I've got this pandemic has created a lot of procrastination for me. And it's like real, man. It's a real serious thing. And I have a lot of stuff going on right now. Between the salon, between this network, between trying to figure out how to build a house, all this important shit I have to do, and it's giving me a lot of opportunities to procrastinate. I am right in the middle of a procrastination right now. The simplest little thing. You know, I got a new car. I got it back in October, but it, you know, the pandemic, I haven't been able to get the tags or the registration for it. And, you know, they give you a paper tag, and that paper tag expired. So I'm driving around on a paper tag. So the good thing, one of the good things about being sober is I'm not as concerned about, like, getting pulled over, right? You know, I'm driving around on an expired tag, and I'm like, well, whatever. Cop pulls me over, I'll just tell him, hey, haven't gotten the tag. But for some weird reason, I had a moment, and I made a phone call, and they sent me a new paper tag because they said that, you know, the DMV is behind. I'm like, okay. So I finally get this new paper tag, and then that fucking paper tag sits in my car for like a week, procrastinating again. I finally get that bitch out, put that on the car, and now the other day I got the tag. Well, I got the registration and the new sticker. And you know what? It's still on my desk. It's still on my desk. And then I have my wife. Yeah, I'm deep into procrastinating right now. I don't know what my problem is. Maybe I just have always been this way, and maybe I had a few years where I did better than I usually do because I feel like, well, it just makes me uneasy. It makes me feel sort of bad about myself in a way. You know, I'm not like, oh, I'm no good. But, you know, I'm like, God, you really ought to get that tag on the car. And that, listen, that's the tip of the iceberg with procrastinating. Yesterday, I did go check the salon mailbox. That one gets me. And, you know, it would be one thing if I wasn't working or didn't have any money or, you know, was not doing so well. You know, like back when, you know, in my addiction, I checked the mailbox every day. You know, but now life's good, no problems, and I'm burdened with, you know, procrastination. And procrastinating doesn't usually get you put in jail. I guess it depends on what you're procrastinating on. If you got to go to court and you procrastinate and you end up going to jail, well, I guess it can put you in jail. But for the most part, the shit that I'm procrastinating on isn't going to put me in jail. It's, you know, the end of the procrastination is usually like an apology, maybe paying some sort of penalty. Like, here's another one. I'm supposed to send the rent for the salon. I usually already have sent it out. It has to be in by the 10th. At this point, I'm not sure if I can make it by the 10th. I wonder if I can. I don't even want to mess with it. See, I'm going to procrastinate some more. But I need to send a check to the landlord. And today's the 29th. It needs to be there by the 10th. So the other day, I go, well, I'll just write him a check and take it over. Well, I haven't done that. I'm procrastinating. And it just makes unrest. It leaves me unsettled with all these loose ends everywhere. And I can't explain it. I cannot explain it. Does anybody out there procrastinate? Does it drive you crazy? You know, I did something yesterday. So I don't know if people know this, but, you know, we're working on we have a social podcast network with a bunch of different podcasts and, you know, people doing podcasting. And it's a lot of fun. We got an intern, Cody, who's really cool. Big help. But, you know, we've been trying to, you know, whenever it seems like you have to do anything nowadays, you have to have some sort of Facebook and some sort of Instagram, and you have to, you know, post things on social media, which is, you know, that's fine. I'm not a big I'll do some social media, but I'm not a big fan of it. It's especially for like the network or promoting stuff. It can be a little exhausting emotionally. And but yesterday, we had to create a Facebook page for the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, and I, you know, we made it and we linked it to an Instagram, and then I clicked. You know, it says you need to invite friends, so I said okay. So I just hit invite. I think I invited all of my friends. I think I invited all the people on my Facebook, which I is probably a couple thousand people. And then all night I'm getting these posts on my phone, you know, so-and-so accepted your friend request for, I'm sorry about last night. So-and-so accepted your request for, I'm sorry about last night. I was like, oh, cool. But then I'm like, oh, shit. Like, that means, you know, somebody might actually listen to this. You know, an actual friend may hear this. You know, I've just been doing this podcast kind of quietly. It has some following, but I haven't really promoted it. I like to get shit off my chest, you know, and not make a big deal about it. It's very therapeutic for me. And but now I like put it out there. So now I'm all stressed out. Now I'm worried. You know? Now I feel like I'm going to get judged. But that's fine. I am open to the judgment. All right, let's see if I can find a little reading real quick. Got a big day today. Working. All right. If this reading has anything to do with procrastination, I'm gonna flip out. All right, January 29th, the joy of sharing. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers, with each other, is the bright spot of our lives. Yeah. I think that, I know for me, I think that that's one of the things that I'm struggling with is that frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. It's that interacting, you know, that, and I talked about it on a podcast the other day, you know, meetings should suck. You know, this should be a little bit inconvenient. And I don't mean like inconvenient, like I can't go out to dinner. I mean, at least, you know, going to meetings and being there for others and sharing and being there for the newcomers is an inconvenience. And I don't have it in my life, and I feel it. That's Alcoholics Anonymous, page 89. To know that each newcomer with whom I share has the opportunity to experience the relief that I have found in this fellowship fills me with joy and gratitude. I feel that all the things described in AA will come to pass for them, as they have for me, if they seize the opportunity and embrace the program fully. Yeah. Well, no. You're never really going to find serenity and peace if you're just going around the outside. I've been there. I've been sober and going around the outside. And no peace there. And hopefully we'll get to a point where we can start having meetings again. I mean, it's odd, and I have been to a couple, and I know there's probably still a couple, but I haven't made really a lot of effort to try to get to it. But I need to do that, and how many people out there are missing, you know, going to meetings and the relationship with newcomers, and or if you are a newcomer, man, I can't even imagine. You know, how are you reaching out? How are you hanging in there? I have some coins. I have all my coins. I think I have 12 coins, I think. If anybody out there is celebrating an anniversary and needs a coin, text me. Send me a message on Instagram. I mean, I got one. If you're celebrating 2 years, let me know. I'll send you my coin. I want to pass them on. You know, to my friend that just celebrated, congratulations. That is amazing. I'm super proud of her. How many people out there are starting to, you know, I had another person talking to me about alcohol. You know, that always, I seem to, when you put it out there that you're sober and that you, you know, you're in recovery, you know, people come, you know, walking through the yard. Hey, so how's it work? How's it going? How do you feel? I feel great, man. Goes like this. Okay. I was just asking for a friend. Like, of course. Absolutely. But, you know, I can't imagine that if you are in, if you're into drinking socially or just, you know, privately, you know, maybe a private little bit of a binge drinker and you're right on the fence or, you know, starting to think. Because I remember when I started thinking about it, you know, I wish I should quit. I wish I could quit. I don't have a problem, but I should quit. I remember when I started thinking about it. And if you're thinking about it, and I know that, it's like, because what ends up happening is you start thinking, I should quit, and then you don't. I should quit tonight, and then you drink. I'm not going to drink tonight, and then you do. And then the next day, you're like, damn it, damn it, damn it. I didn't mean to do that. And then you start really trying to quit, and you find out you can't. And then you're like, shit, uh-oh, this is serious. Then the back talk starts, you know. You don't even really need to quit anyway. You don't even have a problem. What do you care? I mean, you're not hurting anybody. You're not hurting anybody. If you say that you're not hurting anybody, you're probably hurting people. You just don't realize it yet. But it seems like people are starting to think about it. I don't know if it's the age, just the age group of people that I know, but I'm not sure alcohol is all that it's cracked up to be. When I was a kid, man, partying, parties, adult parties, bar, home bars, drinking at home, big groups of people. You know, my parents had parties all the time. Nobody does that anymore. At least if they do, they're keeping it really quiet. I mean, nobody's having big drinking parties like they used to in the 70s and 80s, you know? 60s, 70s, and 80s. I mean, if I was to look at the one thing in my life, the one thing that I'm around that creates more pain and suffering, it's alcohol. And it's not, you know, it's not new. But maybe just this generation, maybe people are starting to be like, you know what? No, I don't need that. I want to feel good. That's what I was talking to somebody yesterday. I want to feel good. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. You know, I know if I got a full day of work or I've got, you know, a full day of procrastinating. Nothing feels better than a full day of procrastination, you know, and being sober. But stick around long enough, right? Get into it and you start understanding or learning or exposing what like procrastination is. I'm not even really, that one I'm still, you know, I get it. I don't want to do it. But I don't understand why I don't want to do something that I'm perfectly capable of doing. I have all the things to do it. It's not going to hurt me. In fact, it's going to help me. And for some reason, I still drag my damn feet. I mean, I don't know how much extra money I've paid in my life because of procrastinating. How many extra miles I've had to drive on my car because of procrastinating. How many explanations or apologies or, you know, conversations I've had to have because of procrastination. But it's a lot. And, you know, procrastinating doesn't make you, you know, run down the street naked, but it can make you feel like shit. It can undermine the peace that you have from not drinking. And, you know, after a while, those are the things that start to become important. The fact that I don't drink today is something that I've, you know, been doing for a while. But trying to manage the anxiety and stress from doing something like procrastinating is a constant battle. Let's pick up your wheel. I'm not living this life without you. I'm
cotton gloom, it's taking control.